Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak only things found in God's holy and inspired Word. For that reason, if there's any question or comment that you have concerning something that we say on the program, we would like to hear from you. Or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program. Certainly, we'd like for you to submit it. We would certainly give consideration to any Bible question, Bible subject that you might have. But in any of these cases, we need to hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer, or better yet, contact me by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, the Herodian family occupied an important place in the events of the first century in the region where it was that Jesus and early Christians lived. Herod the Great was what we might call the paranoid king who killed the babies of Bethlehem because of the fear that he had of Christ being the king of the Jews. We read about that in Matthew chapter 2 in those first 18 verses. It was after his death that the region that he ruled was divided between those of his sons. And there is a story of a complicated but powerful family continued. Herod Philip married a woman named Herodias. He had political problems and was eventually exiled to Rome. It was his brother, Herod Antipas, who became the Tetrarch of Galilee for over some 40 years, who visited Rome and took away his brother's wife, Herodias, and along with her daughter, Salome. Well, back in Galilee, Antipas became interested in the message that was preached by John the Baptist, the man we know that God sent to prepare the way for Jesus. But the preaching of John troubled Antipas and Herodias because John clearly condemned their adulterous marriage. In fact, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 18, here's what he told Antipas. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So, let us understand that John's conclusion was not based on human laws, because divorce and remarriage was something common among the Romans. Who was this simple and rather strange man to question any matter of someone in authority as Herod Antipas was? Is it also possible that popular opinion would have defended this relationship of Herod and Herodias? Her first husband, we know, as we said, was exiled. Well, did she deserve to be openly embarrassed and forced to stay with him? Shouldn't she have the right to be happy in a new marriage, as they are, that statement made so often? But see, this statement of John the Baptist was based not on Roman law and not on popular opinion. It was based on the Word of God. And it was openly proclaimed by John because of John's confidence in the absolute authority of the Lord's Word. See, for John, the truth was not to be decided in the halls of some Roman court, nor was it to be decided in the streets of popular opinion. John advocated a simple and a definite standard of truth, the Word of God. So that's why John, we might say, lost his head. Not in the sense of some wild statement or action, but literally, John was beheaded. You see, when John refused to back down and agree to the unlawful marriage of Antipas and Herodias, Salome came to her mother's aid, and she convinced Herod to order the beheading of this preacher who was causing them a problem. What was the crime that cost John his life? Did he commit some hate crime against adulterers? You know, he clearly spoke against the sexual relation of Antipas with Herodias. But does the condemning of a person's conduct constitute hatred of the person? You know, from John's point of view, and from the viewpoint of anyone who believes in the Word of God, his speech was motivated by love, not by hate. See, hatred would have been silent. Hatred would have left Herod and Herodias to be condemned by God without so much as a word of warning. See, John condemned the practice because he did not want to see the people condemned. Where's the hatred in that kind of conduct? What was the crime that cost John his life? Was he guilty of the crime of, well, let's call it adulterophobia? You know, in this case, considering the power of Herod, John would have reason to fear this adulterous king. But he was not motivated by fear or phobia. John believed that Herod's involvement with Herodias was sinful. And he said so. He did not submit to popular opinion because John believed in a higher absolute standard, the Word of God. What was the crime that cost John his life? Was he guilty of religious intolerance? You know, no doubt he spoke openly about his beliefs. But at no time did John use force, to compel anyone to conform to his belief. John lived in a society where kings and the common people walked in just open disregard for God's will. John approached the fact of their sin as the reason for their unwillingness to be repentant, to repent of their sin. So see, in the case of John the Baptist, it was Herodias who showed her phobia of his message. You see, if John's words were accepted, her life would change. It would change dramatically. The transformation that John is encouraging appeared worse to her than the consequences he wanted to try to help her avoid. Herod and Herodias, not John, demonstrated intolerance. It was to appease Herodias that Herod ordered John's arrest. His public preaching was silenced by this form of government censorship. It was Herodias, not John, who acted with hatred. She carried her hatred to the point of obtaining the support of the government authority in the form of her husband to eliminate from society this man who insisted on raising his voice to disagree with conduct that she was engaged in, and yet conduct that was identified in the Word of God to be immoral. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You see, if Herod and Herodias' marriage had been what God would have sanctioned, then the bed would have been undefiled. But no, it was not lawful for Herod to have his brother Philip's wife. Therefore, we're talking about fornication. We're talking about adultery. and regardless of how popular it was in Roman culture, just as it is so popular in our day, in our time, still the truth in the matter is stated in this verse. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Also, we see in Romans chapter 7, notice beginning in verse 2, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. So we know that Philip still lived. Herodias had been married to Philip. So, again, from divine law, Romans 7, verses 1, 2, and 3, we see that Herodias had married another man while her husband lived. And so what we see is, as the scripture says, she shall be called an adulteress. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 18, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. We know that this was truly many things that were mentioned in the New Testament, and yet these are the things that we hear very little, if anything, about, coming from pulpits, whether they be in churches, on radio, or even on television. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, is an incident where that there was a young person, or I'm sorry, now don't know if he was a young person, but he was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus and he was testing him. And he said, is it lawful, in Matthew 19, verse 3, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And Jesus answered and said, have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Friends, that is divine law, and that was the law that John was quoting to Herod and Herodias. When he made that statement in Mark 6 and verse 18, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. No servant of the Lord should be motivated by hatred or phobias, but those who believe in the sovereignty of God, they'll continue to proclaim his message even when it's necessary to oppose practices that become normal and become accepted in our society. You see, because of an undying love for the sinner and the desire to lead them to salvation, the Lord's servants, like John, will continue to talk about sin and the need to turn to the Savior. Friends, we appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it is till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.